Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Hope you're all doing well today. Lots to get involved in. Gibbs-White, Truffert, Tonali, Fernandez, and a few other bits as well. But look, I want to start off at the start of the show. A couple of bits to bring you ourselves. A little bit coming in from Italy as well around Tonali. But I want to start off with this Romano stuff that happened sort of last night. We touched on it a little bit last night, but the clarity was this. Stay tuned, because in the next days, I will tell you more on Manchester United and midfielders. They are already working on it behind the scenes. After Ederson, Michael Carrick will get at least one more. Now, three sentences there, lots of reaction to it. We'll delve into who he's probably talking about in a moment. But I think what I would say as a positive start to the show this Sunday morning is I still think lots of people are getting very focused on one more, at least one more, because I think that we will sign three midfielders. I think a journalist's job is to tell a story in a way that's exciting. So Man United will get at least one more midfielder for Michael Carrick. He's meant to make you think, oh, he's going to get at least one more. But it makes some people think we're only going to get one more. It gives United a bit of a barrier if things go wrong as well. If everybody they try and sign is difficult and they can only get one at the end of the day, then they'll end up with one. But that's not the plan. We're definitely working on getting two. We'll delve into who that's going to be in a moment. But I said this to you last week. I'm not worried about this one more stuff. I've heard Ben Jacobs say it. I've heard Fabrizio Romano say it. I think it's just a coin of phrase. I think it probably is coming from the club. I think they are saying we'll get at least one more, but I don't think the plan is to get one more. And all this talk of Fletcher being the midfielder or Thwaites or Ugarte staying, if that happens, they'll have failed. That's not the plan. Now, they've got to deliver the plan, but I'm not worried about the one more. I think we will get two. In relation to who Fabrizio is talking about and who he's going to give the information on, I feel that, look, Gibbs-White is a player I want to talk about in a minute. Truffert's a player I want to talk about in a minute. Some very interesting stuff about them. Mariam says, do you think it's Tchouaméni because of the presidential elections? Look, there is a train of thought that Romano keeps talking about Tchouaméni being a dream. The presidential election for Real Madrid, I think, is actually today. They're going to make a big signing for somebody on Tuesday. So if Romano is going to give an update on a midfielder in the next few days, if everything falls into place in Madrid, it could be Tchouaméni. I'm not getting that impression at all. I think Tchouaméni is a player that United really like. And what I would say to you is that I know for a fact that this is close to the agent of Tchouaméni and not driven by Romano or Ornstein or anyone like that. I think that there is definitely indications close to the player that we want him. Approaches have been made, etc. Now, that doesn't mean he's signing for Manchester United, but this is not just Romano going, oh, it's a dream that Man United signed Tchouaméni. Like, there is actually logic to it, and it's been going on for a while. So I think that Tchouaméni is a possibility. But as we know, if Mourinho says, I want you to stay here, you're a big part of my plans, he probably will stay. If they don't want him, then there's a very big chance that he could sign for Manchester United. So Tchouaméni is a possibility. I personally think it's Fernandez. I think Romano's talking about Fernandez. And it's interesting. As I said last night, what do we call it? Bitterness, jealousy? No, that's not what I meant. But you could say it's that. I used to say something about Sunday. Toxic Sunday. Yeah, Toxic Sunday. I think, I don't know what it is. I don't know whether the football season's over. Back to work tomorrow. Look, there seems to be a lot of negativity out there at the moment. Moaning, making up lies. I saw it with that clip about Beth. The same person did a clip about me. You're not getting 70 million for Lewis Hall, mate. You're not getting... You probably will... I don't know a United fan. And clip me up again. I don't know a United fan that really actually thought we were going to sign Lewis Hall. It's because he wants to leave you, mate. It's not because we've put him on the list. If he wants to leave, we will take him. But we are not, like, stood there outside St James's Park begging for Lewis Hall. Like, we'd love Lewis Hall to come to Man United, but it's him who's unhappy. And if he's happy, he won't leave. Don't know why Newcastle fans are getting their knickers in a twist. You know, you need to figure out what you're doing between Monday and Friday next year, because trust me, it's boring. You're not in Europe, so, you know, if starting arguments with United fans because we're in Europe is what you want to do, that's absolutely fine. But if Lewis Hall leaves Newcastle, we're not paying you £70 million. And it's a big if. It is a big if. But Look, going back to what I was talking about there about Romano and one more, and, you know, I'm going to reveal something in the next few days. There seems to be like this thing going round that United stand are saying United aren't doing anything. I mean, I just don't think people watch the shows. And thank you to everybody who's part of this brilliant community. I mean, go back and look at every thumbnail for the last 3 weeks. There's Lewis Hall, there's Scott, there's Germini, there's Fernandez, there's Tenali. I think you'd have to be a complete and utter moron to think United aren't working on transfers in the background. And I don't remember ever saying that myself, and I don't think anybody has said that. So I don't know where this is coming from, you know, bitterness, jealousy, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Toxic Sunday, I don't know. Course Man United are working on deals. I mean, it's absolutely obvious we're working on deals. I think the only concern was, and I expressed this on Friday, is that it would be unacceptable to work on deals and then walk away like we did with Anderson. 9 months he's been the priority and we walk away because we don't like the price. I think that's unacceptable. Some of you think it's good. Somebody said last night, well, we walked away from Branthwaite and we were right. Yeah, but one day you're going to walk away from something you shouldn't walk away from. So I think when Romano says that Manchester United, stay tuned. I'll tell you more on Manchester United and midfielders in the next coming days. They're working, already working on it behind the scenes. As a dump, we're definitely working on Fernandez. We really like him. We're definitely keeping Belabor warm in the background. I mean, he might be far in the background, but Belabor is still there in the background. Alex Scott, somebody we've definitely spoken about. We've definitely, you know, had thoughts about that. Chimini is a player that we really like. Anderson is somebody that we would jump on if an opportunity came around. So that's 5 players we're working on. We're not sat doing nothing. It's what I said last night. I know it took me 5 minutes to say it, so I'll say it in like 20 seconds. Wilcox, Berarda, Favel can get a deal at the door, agent fee, wages, everything. They can do all that work and they can give it to Sir Jim Radcliffe and he can say, no, we're not paying that. And that has happened before. So that's the thing that's unacceptable. It's not the fact that we're not working on stuff. It's about whether we get it over the line. I think Romano's talking about Fernandez. I think no news is good news in the sense that there's been a lot of noise. PSG like him, Real Madrid like him, Arsenal like him. But the only definitive club that's actually made any real progress is Manchester United. It can go one of two ways. It can go the same way as Mbeumo and Brentford, where we get buy-in from the player that he only wants us. And then we've got to take weeks to negotiate with West Ham and everyone else backs off. Or it can go wrong, where we walk away because we don't like the fee. And I think it'll be one of those two things. Because I think we're too ingratiated into this deal. It's just everybody you talk to, everyone who messages you, Man United really like Fernandez. They really want Fernandez. We really do. I think they do listen to Bruno as well, whether that's right or wrong. I think Man United and Carrick and Favel and Berarda and Wilcox, I think they do listen to Bruno. I mean, I'm just going to say this. Is Bruno Fernandez not the best player in the world at the moment? I mean, is he not the best player in the world at the moment? Like, I know the potential of Mbappe and Haaland, and you can argue that the likes of Harry Kane and Dembele and Kvaratskhelia, etc. But on form, is he not the best player in the world at the moment? I mean, he's definitely in the conversation. I don't think he's technically the best player in the world. I think people like Yamal are better than him. But on actual form, he is one of the best players in the world at the moment. I mean, he's a Ballon d'Or contender if Portugal win the leagues, win the World Cup. So I think Bruno has a huge influence at Manchester United. And we're going to have to reward Bruno with a contract, by the way. I don't want to talk about that today. But what I'm saying is, I think if Bruno Fernandes is saying we should go and get Matias Fernandes from West Ham, I think United know that that's the sort of thing that keeps Bruno happy and he's the sort of player that Man United need to bring in. So I think it is the player that United and Romano were talking about, but the next few days will be key. I mean, look, I've spoken to a couple of people trying to establish what Romano's on about, and the best answer is it's probably Fernandez. And as I said last night, sometimes with Fabrizio, you feel like he's keeping something that he probably could have told us last night. But I live in hope that it is something spectacular. But I think it probably is Fernandez. And the reason, as somebody said, why would... I mean, look, this is what he said. He said, in the next few days, I'll tell you more on Man United and midfielders. I personally think he's not keeping it back. I don't think that's how Fabrizio works. I think if Fabrizio has something, he knows the industry and he moves really, really quickly. I would say he's doing some digging and he's going to find out in the next few days what Man United are up to. But I would suspect, don't move your view very far away from Fernandez and potentially Tchouaméni. And I think in the next few days, we're going to find out who's serious about Fernandez, whether PSG are really serious, whether Real Madrid are really serious, whether Arsenal are really serious, because Arsenal might just go for Tonali. They might do. Which would be better for us as well. So lots of people in the chat talking about whether Bruno is the best player in the world. I think it's relevant, but I do think at the moment he's one of the best players in the world on form. I think Harry Kane is as well. I think Ferenc Skelia is. Obviously, he's not going to be playing in the World Cup. So look, I don't care about that. You know, some people will laugh about it. Some people will agree with it. Ultimately, we're very lucky to have a player that a year ago we were thinking about getting rid of because he was being played out of position. And I heard the interview where Bruno said he likes playing deep. Oh, mate, look at what happens when you play as a number 10. You know, whether Bruno wants to play deeper or not, you're not a midfielder, mate. You're a number 10. Look what happened when Carrick put you back as a number 10. That's where he is, one of the best players in the world. As a midfielder, he can still get you assists, but I personally think that we overanalyze football a lot. When Man United moved Bruno Fernandes to a 10, we became more defensively solid. And people think it's about going to a back four, and in a way it is. But taking Bruno out of the midfield too made us more defensively solid as a team. Manu and Casemiro made us defensively better than Bruno and Casemiro. And games that Amorim was drawing, Carrick started winning. And it was literally a one-goal shift a lot of the time. Carrick won a lot of games by one goal. And Amorim drew a lot of games. And I genuinely think moving Bruno to a 10, securing the midfield and getting a bit more creativity high up the pitch was the problem. So I think Bruno as a 10 is I think he's one of the best players in the world at the moment. But look, on the Romano thing, yes, I think it's Fernandez. United are working on a lot of things. As I said, Belaba looks like it's moving further away, but it would only come back into the equation if we miss out on what we want. What I've been told this morning is three things. One, United won't buy two players from one club. So we're not going to get Tonali and Hall. That's not going to happen. We wouldn't get Gibbs, White and Anderson. That's not going to happen. We won't get two players from Real Madrid. We're not going to sign two players from one club. So, you know, if you want Tonali and Hall, won't happen. Might not even get one. So we won't be buying two players from one club, because unless it's somebody like Coventry or something like that, or Preston, or, you know, West Ham. Maybe West Ham, actually. Maybe we would get two from West Ham, but the we're not going to get two out of Newcastle. It's not going to happen. In relation to the left-back situation, it sort of fits in with that. Man United like Scott, but Scott at the moment isn't high on United's list because he's with the World Cup squad in England. He's focused on that. Probably going to have a holiday then and take his thoughts. So Scott at the moment is a player that United like, but he's not as high up as a Fernandez or a Tchouaméni. But Scott could be interesting, although a lot of people are saying keep an eye out for Liverpool for them. Man United want a left back. They want a left back that is going to compete with Luke Shaw. Man United are not, and this will never really come out, but United really like Luke Shaw. Like they really do like Luke Shaw. You know, he's probably on an Instagram post today. They love Luke Shaw at Man United, but they have invested a lot of money into the data side of things, and they're aware of what we're aware with Luke Shaw. He used to, 10 years ago, be putting in, you know, 2 to 3 crosses per 90. He can now barely do one. All his stats are dropping. Progressive runs, dribbles, crosses into the box, passing the halfway line. They're all terminally dropping. He's 30 years of age now. I think he's 31 soon. They know, as a modern left-back, Luke Shaw can't do it. They also know that he's doing this once a week. They need someone who can do it twice a week. So Luke Shaw, physically, as a left-back, just can't cut it. So it's not even about a backup to Luke Shaw. They know they need someone to compete with Luke Shaw. In which case, Amas, Leon, it's like saying Thwaites or Fletcher in the midfield. It's not acceptable. So United need to buy a left-back. Lewis Hall would be the fantasy if that could happen, and a lot of things need to happen for that. What I've been told is keep an eye on Truffert at Bournemouth. United do really like him. He's been well scouted. It could be difficult because of Bournemouth, but that is certainly a player to keep an eye on. Man United want a left-back that can compete with Luke Shaw, and they feel that that type of a left-back would be really good. Anthony Robinson has been mentioned, but the age is problematic because I think he's nearly 29 now. So they do like Truffert. They'd really like Lewis Hall, but they are looking for a left-back that can come in and challenge straight away. I'm told Nathaniel Brown of Frankfurt was under consideration. It was a Favel suggestion. Obviously, he knows a lot about the Bundesliga, but he is now being scouted by a lot of big clubs, and Frankfurt want a high price. United, very unlikely to go and spend £50-60 million on a Bundesliga left-back where there's competition for the place and he's never played in the Premier League before. So keep an eye on someone like that. KFC says, what about Mattson? I like Mattson. And look, I don't think Truffert's easy to get out of Bournemouth. He's only been there a year and Bournemouth are in Europe. So I don't think that's easy to do. I don't think Scott's easy to do. I think if you want something out of Bournemouth, you've got to move quick. Otherwise, you end up in an Ajax situation where they've sold two or three players and they don't want to sell anybody else. You've got to move quickly. But I'd certainly keep an eye on Truffert if Lewis Hall doesn't come to anything. In relation to Lewis Hall, it's not in our hands. It was never in our hands. People who were talking about Man United and Lewis Hall even a month ago, Man United didn't have Lewis Hall on their list. He wasn't a viable option. Like, it's like saying Kimmich is on our list or Harry Kane's on our list. They're not gettable players unless they do something that makes them gettable. The thing that's made Lewis Hall intriguing is that, you know, he wasn't happy with the end of the season, doesn't want to sign a new contract, needs a bit of persuasion to stay at Newcastle, missed out on the World Cup, was being dropped for Dan Burn, you know, wants to play, was playing Champions League football 2 months ago in the Nou Camp against Yamal, and finds himself sat in on a sunbed, not part of the World Cup. So, you know, he's assessing his options. United will strike if there is an opportunity there, but they're not going to pay £70 million. So that's one to monitor. But it's not one that Man United can monitor forever, because if it doesn't happen, they can't just go, oh, well, they need to get a left back. So I would keep an eye on that. I think there needs to be some movement on that one in the next, you know, by the end of the month. Another player I got told to keep an eye on is Gibbs White. Morgan Gibbs White, not Morgan's Gibbs White. We do really like Morgan Rogers. But there's expected to be a very high price for Rogers. And also, he's part of the World Cup for the next 6 weeks. And there is competition, as I said, from Arsenal. I wouldn't put this on the hotter meter yet, but I was told, keep an eye on Gibbs White. United do want a midfielder like that. They want an attacker who can play multiple positions. I'll just say I don't agree with this, by the way. I like Rodgers and I like Gibbs White, but again, I'm just seeing another square peg in a round hole, in the sense that, you know, Morgan Rodgers last night played on the right. We've seen him on the left. I think he's a 10. I don't think he's a specialist winger. I don't think he's a specialist left winger. I don't think he's a specialist striker. But I have a feeling that United might try and buy a player for £70 million that actually, in a way, is quite clever. Instead of getting a specialist left winger and a specialist backup striker, which will probably cost you £70 million, you buy someone like Gibbs White who can do both jobs. So you get one player who can do three roles instead of getting two players who can do two roles. So maybe keep an eye on Gibbs White. I think this is the summer where he would look to go. He nearly went to Spurs last year. He'd be cheaper than Morgan Rogers. He's not in the World Cup. And United are looking at that profile of player. And of course, he's homegrown as well. So, look, I don't know. I don't know. Personally, I think Morgan Rodgers is better than Gibbs-White. I don't really like the idea of another number 10 coming in. But United seem to quite like the idea of having a player like Cunha who can play multi. It's Cunha and Mbeumo again, isn't it? It's two players that really should be playing right wing and number 10, but find themselves left wing and up front quite a lot because they're adaptable. And I think we're looking for another adaptable forward like a Morgan Rodgers or a Gibbs-White. So, you know, he's not, look, he's not. I like both Rodgers and Gibbs-White, and the homegrown thing is intriguing. And yeah, you can spend 70, £80 million on one of those players, and a proper left winger and a proper backup striker would probably cost you 80 million anyway as a pair. So yeah, I can sort of understand it. But look, I can only give you what we're being told. Truffert's one to keep an eye on, and so is Gibbs-White. But United will not be buying two players from the same club in the Premier League, i.e., we won't be getting Tonali and Hall. We won't be getting Truffert and Scott. Maybe West Ham. You know, I think one left back that's quite cheap, that's worth keeping an eye on, is Diouf from West Ham. I've not been told this. I just think it's an observation. I've seen a lot of you talking about it. What I would say about Diouf at West Ham is I think he's a bit erratic. I don't think he's a smooth player. You know, you look at someone like Matson, you look at someone like Mendes, you look at someone like Truffert, Robinson, Hall, they're quite smooth left backs. Diouf looks a little bit chaotic to me in the way that he plays. And, you know, I know it's a strange thing, but aesthetics, I think, are really important. I think Belaba's a little bit like this as well. I think sometimes he doesn't look composed on the ball. And I think in the cauldron of Old Trafford, those sort of things get picked up on quite quickly. But he is infinitely gettable, and he would be quite cheap. And ultimately, we've seen it with Edison. I think we bought Edison because he's cheap. Edison is a player that United had been scouting for 5 years. Like, we were doing videos on Edison 3 summers ago. He's been in the data for a very long time. And I think what United have done is we need a cheaper midfielder. And they've gone through the data and they've gone, well, Edison's never left. You know, he's always been there. Maybe we look at him. So they might look at Diouf in that way as well, which is interesting. But look, I think this could be a really interesting week because we've got the Real Madrid presidential elections. Whoever wins that, and it probably will be Perez, has to follow through very quickly. PSG, I think they want to make some moves as well. Arsenal will want to make moves, and that's three very big hitters there. Three really big hitters. And my concern is not that we're not doing anything. I don't know where that nonsense is coming from. My concern is that we might do something and then walk away from the wrong deal. I don't mind walking away from Branthwaite. I don't mind if we walk away from Edison, which we didn't. I don't want us to walk away from Fernandes. I don't want us to walk away from Anderson. I don't want us to walk away from Tchouaméni, because then you end up with Belaba. And he is in the distance at the moment. He is certainly somebody United are considering, but he's sort of down. It's a little bit like going in your sock drawer, isn't it? You know, you've got your favorite pairs of socks, and there's a pair of socks that you never wear unless everything else isn't there. And we need to make sure we put on the right pair of socks, because we can't be making do. These are really big, big situations. Brian says 80 million is ridiculous for Fernandes. I mean, look, that's a load of bollocks. That's a load of bollocks. And if you actually watch this show and are part of this community, you'll know that the little clips and the little bitter jealous tweets that people put out there, they've been around for years. They will be around for years. They don't watch the show. They just want to, you know, have a pop at it. But there's too many of you putting in too many opinions for it to be not balanced. And as I said at the start of the show, I could easily say, we're only going to. You know how easy it would be for me to go, this club's a joke. The Glazers are a joke. We're only going to buy one midfielder. They're absolutely terrible, you know, and just do that for 2 months. And then when they get the second midfielder, go, okay, fair play, I was wrong. But you still had 2 months of me moaning. I'm not going to do that. I absolutely do not think we're only buying one more midfielder. I'll lose it on August the 31st if we've only bought one midfielder. But I absolutely do not think we're only buying one more midfielder. I think we're buying three. And again, I could sit here and say £80 million for Fernandes. What a joke. Walk away, right? Where's that £80 million story coming from? West Ham? United? Arsenal? I don't know where it's coming from. I know the journalists who wrote it, but where did they get it from? As I've said before, if you're selling a car and it's on your drive and it's worth 10 grand and six people want it, are you going to put it on the market at 10 grand or are you going to put it on at 20? You think you've got a lot of interest, so you take a chance. You know you're not going to get 20 grand for a car that's worth 10, but somebody might go, there's 14 grand. West Ham are just playing the game and I respect it. If we were in this position and let's say we weren't in Europe, we were in absolute financial strait, like West Ham, we're in trouble financially, and PSG want Mainoo and Real Madrid want Mainoo and Arsenal want Mainoo, and we know Mainoo's worth 60 million quid or 70 or 80, whatever. Let's pretend 60 million. I'm not valuing Mainoo at 60 million. But let's pretend his value is 60 million. And we go, we want 90. And all the fans of all the other clubs go, piss off, he's not worth that. Well, we go, it's 90 million. We know it's not bloody 90, but we might get 70. We might get 75. We might get 70 with 20 add-ons. So West Ham are just doing that. They're not. PSG ain't stupid. Real Madrid ain't stupid. Arsenal ain't stupid. They're not getting £80 million for Fernandes. It's just West Ham doing what they need to do to look after themselves. They've got to try and get as much as they can. It's the same as Lewis Hall in 70 million. I mean, when you look at the most expensive fullbacks in European leagues over the last 10 years, 70 million for a fullback, I can't remember if that's even been done. I mean, I suspect Vardiel did go to City for quite a lot, but I think he was a centre-back who got turned into a left-back. So how are Newcastle getting £70 million for a left-back that they dropped for Dan Burn that isn't going to the World Cup, isn't in Europe? I mean, yeah. Hold on a minute. You want £70 million? Your manager was dropping him for Dan Burn 2 weeks ago. He's not in the World Cup. You're not in Europe. And you want 70 million, and he doesn't want to be there. 70 million pounds. All right, come back when you're serious. You've got a week, because if you don't come back, we're going to go and start talking to Bournemouth. I mean, as I said, I don't think 40 million is right, but I think somewhere between 50 and 60 would be a good deal. And I tell you what, they can have add-ons as part of it as well. I like Lewis Hall, but I don't like Lewis Hall enough to play silly games with Newcastle. There's plenty of other options at left back that we could move for with clubs that would be more than happy. I mean, look, say what you like about Bournemouth, say what you like about Brighton, say what you like about Brentford. They know ultimately that, you know, there is a price for a player. And I wouldn't be so disrespectful to say that Bournemouth are a selling club. They've got a new manager. They've got European football in the Europa League. But look at their capacity. It's 11,500. Their business model as a football club is to stay in the Premier League, live the dream and be sustainable and buy good players that they can then potentially sell. Bournemouth aren't looking for players that are going to be there for 10 years. Bournemouth are looking for players that are there 2 or 3 years and they flip the profit. So I like the idea of Truffert, and I'm not going to get too excited about it, but I like the update that we got about Gibbs White and Truffert because I do like Truffert. Let's wait and see. Let me catch some of your comments this morning. Over nearly 11,000 watching this morning. Absolutely brilliant community. The biggest and the best Man United community in the world. Thank you, everybody. I was actually saying that in a positive way as a thank you to you. I've just realised we will have some haters in here and it's probably just ruined their Sunday. The biggest and best Man United fan community in the world. Let us know where you're watching from. Exciting few days coming up. I am hopeful that we will get some progress early this week on the midfield, and maybe it will come from Romano. Maybe Ornstein will drop something. Credible outlets updates, not speculative stuff. I also think the World Cup starts on Thursday. Very excited about that. But I don't think it'll quieten down around United. You know, we'll still be doing our shows here. Might be a little bit shorter because we, you know, the World Cup's going to take up a lot of time, but we'll still have the 10 o'clock show and the 8 o'clock show. But I was thinking about this last night. I've done numerous summer transfer windows. And whilst I'm not a journalist, I do think that collectively we probably speak and talk on the regular. So often over the years that we have become experts because we spend so much time looking and analysing that you get to know the pathways and you get to know people and you get sense stuff. I think sometimes a Euros or a World, what I'm basically putting here is how busy do I think United are going to be over the next 6 weeks? And I think it's an important thing to say. When the World Cup finishes, all right, you've got the World Cup final, I think it's on the 19th of July, a Sunday. But if you get to the semi-final or the quarter-final, it's only a week less. So people go, wow, you could be out of the world. No. 8 of the best teams in the world are still going to be playing the week before the final. So it is basically the end of August before everybody, sorry, the end of July before everybody comes back from holiday. You know, maybe if Ivory Coast do bad, Ahmad might be back sort of last week of July. But most people involved in the World Cup ain't coming back until the first week of August. And rightly so. And you know, people think you get a 2 week holiday. You try and give them three. You try and give them 2.5 because it's such a long season for United. Bruno will want to come back after 2 days. But if Bruno Fernandes gets to the semi-final at least with Portugal, which he should do, he doesn't leave the States until like the 18th of July. He's got to have at least 2.5 weeks holiday. So he doesn't come back until the week before the season. And I wouldn't be in a rush to get our players back after the World Cup. I think if you can give Ahmad 3 weeks and Martinez 3 weeks and Mainu 3 weeks and Bruno 3 weeks, it's not good to get our players back in pre-season quickly. And I'd look at Carrick and I'd look at Steve Holland and I'd look at the board, and I hope they figure that one out because next season for us is going to be a killer. It's going to be great to watch, but Premier League, Champions League, domestic, they've never played this Champions League format. You play 8 games instead of 6 now, and you do that before the end of Jan. You've got Premier League as well, so we need to try and give these players a break. Going to the transfer window, in previous years, the World Cup or the Euros can kill the transfer window. So many journalists want to be in the World Cup. They want to go to the World Cup. And they don't give a shit about club rumours. They don't try and get them. They're like, I'm at the World Cup. I'm focusing on the World Cup. So they're not making phone calls to clubs or anything like that. Sometimes it could be dead. Sometimes it can be quite busy. And, you know, remember Pogba was bought during a major tournament. I think it might have been the Euros. So we have done it. I think this World Cup, speaking to people, agents, journalists, I think this World Cup is going to be very different because it's on the other side of the world and the Premier League, the Champions League are so big now. The World Cup's big, but the Premier League, the Champions League, La Liga, it's so important now. And there's so many clubs going through transition. Liverpool new manager, Chelsea new manager, Man United new manager, Man City new manager, Real Madrid new manager. There's so many clubs going through change that the World Cup is not going to be, let's sit down and enjoy the World Cup. So many clubs are going to be doing business because they need to, because if they don't and they start trying to do business at the end of July, they're going to run out of time. So I do think that we're going to get a lot. And specifically with Man United, I think we're going to be busy. This doesn't surprise me, and you might have figured it out yourself. So speaking to our source this morning about who it could be, Fernandes, Tchouaméni, keep an eye on Truffert and Gibbs-White. Truffert's not at the World Cup. Gibbs-White's not at the World Cup. Fernandes, not at the World Cup. Tonali, not at the World Cup. Baleba, not at the World Cup. There's so many players and so many names now that are coming out. Lewis Hall, not at the World Cup. There's a lot of players that are not at the World Cup. Tchouaméni's at the World Cup. Anderson's at the World Cup. But there's a lot of players that we're linked to. I would say over 80% of the clubs with players that we're genuinely looking at are not at the World Cup. So the World Cup's not going to stop Man United. It's not going to stop us having talks. It's an irrelevant. It's an irrelevant. It's like decorating your neighbour's house and their neighbours on holiday. What do you mean? Well, you're in your house. I can come in and I can paint your house, can't I? Yeah, the neighbours are away. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to decorate their house, would I? Because there's no one there. No, you wouldn't. It's locked up. It's got an alarm on it. But I can come to your house, can't I? Yeah, because we've not gone away. Come in and paint the house. Yeah, we're here every day. Doors open. You can't paint the neighbours. They're at the World Cup. We're not. These players are available. You can talk to their agent. You can talk to them. They might be on holiday now, but what I'm saying is the World Cup is not relevant to most of the players that we're looking at. So I think it will be busy. I think that flip side of that is that other clubs probably looking at those types of players as well. Because there will be players that go, the World Cup, I'm focused on the World Cup. That's all I'm focused on. And that might make them less attractive for a while. Going back to a player looking good on the ball, Dorgu probably falls into the category of not looking great on the ball. So it can work as he's been great. Understand it's a risk though, says Nicholas. I'm really excited about Dorgu next season. I mean, I will leave it there for a couple of months, but I am really excited about him. I don't think we're getting any players that woo us, says JBS. We came a long way from Veghorst and Ngarlo. Hashtag Favel, says Darshan. Oh, God, yeah. Will West Ham accept 95 million for Fernandes and Diouf? I would be happy, says Sampson. I mean, look, that's very speculative. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I think Diouf hasn't been a player that's been linked to us yet, realistically. But as I said, we won't be signing two players from one club unless it's a club that's not in the Premier League, like West Ham. Great show, Mark. What about Cucurella as a left back? Probably not too expensive, says Mark. I like Cucurella. I think he's very good. I think he's way better than Luke Shaw, but I think he's going to end up going back to Spain. And also, I'm just not comfortable with buying players from Chelsea. I'm not. I think we've done it quite a lot, and I don't really want to do it again. Daniel Thompson's gifted 5 memberships this wonderful morning. Thank you, Daniel. Hope you're doing very well. I think João Neves to Madrid for 150 million. Fernandes will then go to PSG, and it opens up Tchouaméni to United. His salary is high, just a thought, says Ridder. Look, there's a lot of people that don't want that to happen. There's a lot of people that are sort of banking on the Fernandes story because, and I don't know why, they're obsessed with Fernandes, right? They're obsessed that we're getting Fernandes and United are doing great work and stuff. And I hope they're right, but you're also right in the sense that there are pathways. There are pathways. We certainly have a decent relationship with the people around Tchouaméni, and you can research that yourself in relation to why that might be. We have a very good relationship with Real Madrid, and we have a decent relationship with PSG. So, you know, would that be a João Neves Ugarte situation where PSG get the better player potentially, but Tchouaméni's better than Ugarte? So that could work. And that literally did happen with Ugarte. João Neves, Real Madrid. João Neves, PSG. We get Ugarte from PSG. So it could happen. Ideally, I'd like us to get Tchouaméni and Fernandes, and I think our midfield's done. It's not necessarily my midfield, but it's not a bad midfield. I don't think Edison, Fernandes and Tchouaméni, for me, I'd probably give that a 7. As a midfield 3, I think I'd give it a 7. I'd be okay with that. I think there are 8s we could have done. But Tchouaméni, Fernandes and Edison, I'd give it a 7 out of 10. Now, if you give me Tonali and Scott, and I suppose I'd have to have Edison, I'd probably say that's probably a 7.5. I think if you give me Anderson, Tonali and Edison, you know, you're pushing towards a 9, which we know we're not going to do. I wouldn't say it's an 8, Mohammed, because I think your ambitions are, I think your standards are really low there. I think you're giving it an 8 based on the board. I mean, surely a 10 would be Tchouaméni, Tonali and Anderson. So you're giving an 8 to Tchouaméni, Fernandes and Edison. That's a bit high, but it's up to you. Can a bunch of jack-of-all-trades win titles, says Rajaf. Glinios, the gift that keeps on disappointing, like the dad who keeps on getting ties and handkerchiefs for birthdays and Christmas, says Yuri. Any update on fullbacks, Mark? I've done that, Rajaf. Sorry, I'm just catching up here. What do you think of Paqueta?
wouldn't go anywhere near him, Shirin, to be honest with you. Yeah, I wouldn't go anywhere near him. I think he was very inconsistent in a West Ham shirt. I'd argue moving Bruno up made us more creative and clinical than defensively stable, says Patrick. We constantly concede multiple goals. We kept 6 clean sheets under Carrick, but had 7 games conceding at least 2. Yeah, either. Patrick, I'm happy with either of that. I think moving Bruno into the attack and out of the midfield did make us better defensively, but certainly made us better offensively. So, you know, you're either going to score more or you're going to concede less, or a bit of both. People saying transfer window is not open. Why can Barcelona sign Gordon? Some saying we're waiting for next financial year. Had cash for Semenyo in January, says Stig. Yeah, I mean, those people can bore off. Transfer window is not officially open yet. May as well get I Love Glazers printed on your T-shirt. And we're waiting for the new financial year. Well, we're not, because we pushed Edison into the new financial year and we do have money left from the Semenyo deal that we didn't spend. I think logically, Edison's basically signed. Anthony Gordon's gone to Barcelona. Erling Haaland signed for Man City from Dortmund in early May, a couple of years ago, or whenever it was. We will do deals when we want to do deals, as will any club. Anderson would be a Man City player now if Forest had accepted the bid. So we can do deals now. I think we've pushed Edison to the new financial year to keep money back for June in case there's a deal we can do in this financial year. Specifically, there will be clubs that have to file their end of financial year reports who are financially in trouble, and West Ham could be one of them, and that might be an opportunity for us to buy Fernandes before the end of this financial year. And I think there's logic to that. I really do. I think we've moved Edison into July to give us money for June. Because if we'd put Edison in now, we're using money up that we could be using in June. We've only got, 20-something days left of June, but we've definitely got a signing. Definitely got a signing. Do we need a left winger? Do we need a left winger when we already have Dorgu, Cunha and Lacey? Do you think Cunha will compete with Sesko so when Buemo can stay at right wing and that's why they want a left winger, says Andy? I think look, United clearly see Buemo and Cunha as tactically adaptable. Ideally, I would like to see Cunha playing as a 10 and Buemo playing on the wing, but we do have Bruno, so there has to be some movement. I'd rather use Cunha as a striker than Mbeumo, though. I think he's more suited. Are United misprofiling the Casemiro replacement? Statistically, only Scott and Tchouaméni was consistently playing as a 6 last season, says Marlowe. I saw somebody in the comments last night trying to make out that we should sign Belaba because Anderson, Fernandes, Tonali are more of an 8 and Belaba's a 6. But I think that's too simplistic, Marlowe. I mean, Belaba isn't a 6, he's shit. You know, he is. And I think Anderson is capable of being a 6. I think Tonali is capable of being a 6. And I think Fernandes is capable of being a 6. And Edison certainly is capable of being a 6. But I think Tchouaméni is the profile. You're absolutely right. If you're talking about a Casemiro replacement, what better player than the player that replaced Casemiro? He is the 6. So if United want a 6, Tchouaméni is the guy. But do we want a 6? Do we want a pivot? Do we want a midfield pivot of load shared? You know, one goes, one sits, both sit. It depends how we're going to play, Marlowe. Midfield threes are very different from club to club to club. You know, Rodri sits at Man City, doesn't he? You know, Kimmich will sit at Man City. But in other clubs, it's sometimes they take it in turns. But I agree with you. I think if you want a specific 6, then Scott would work very well as well. Will Newcastle accept 130 million for Tonali and Hall? No. No, they won't, Banny. Because they want about 90 for Tonali, which means they'd only be getting 40 for Hall. They won't do a double deal. They're not that type of club. We won't get 2 Newcastle signings at Manchester United. But if you want to sign Lewis Hall and Tonali, you're not going to get a lot of change out of 150 million. 2026, the transfer window of raging Newcastle fans. The Geordies are acting like director football Bridge is trying to buy Hall for 50 million, says Jack. I like Lewis Hall. If he stays at Newcastle, I don't care. You know, last summer I was quite on the front foot. Sesko didn't want you, he wants us. And they I think that's probably a lot of what the problem is. They really thought they were getting Sesko, and Özlok just sat there and went, he won't choose you, and he didn't. Lewis Hall may well be wearing a Newcastle shirt next season. And if he is, I never thought we'd sign him anyway. But if he forces a move, we won't pay £70 million for him. Why is Edison not in a United shirt yet? So slow, says Stig. Well, we're not. We're not. He is a Man United player. We've just pushed it back to July for financial reasons. It's actually quite a clever thing to do, to be honest. I actually do agree with it. You get the player, you get the agreements, everybody signs pending the medical, and then you do the medical in early July so that the money goes in a new financial year, and you leave yourself with 20-something days of freedom to try and get somebody in this financial year. So I do agree with it. Disappointed that United have given up on Anderson. Says that United go, we'll never know the truth, will we? But 9 months of telling everybody that's your priority to lose to Man City is just, I don't think it's acceptable. But would you take João Gomez as biggest ball knowledge? I think he's going to Atletico Madrid. I don't know why it hasn't happened. Alio says it's not a financial reason. Well, unfortunately, chat, we've been left in that situation again where a genius only gives us a sentence. I don't know what he means, but apparently it's not financial why we're holding off on Edison. And that's all we've got on that. I don't know. The genius who keeps it to themselves. It's like having the cure for cancer and telling no one, isn't it? I mean, what do you mean it's not financial and then not telling us? I don't know. I can't help. Hi, Mark. Couldn't miss the United Stand morning show watching on holiday in Salou. I'm loving this, Jamie, because we've also got Ben, who's currently in Portugal on holiday. I'm dead jealous. I do have a holiday booked this year, by the way. I do have a holiday booked this year. So didn't get one last year. I have a holiday booked this year. So looking forward to that. It's a good and a bad thing, though, because I'm getting a bit of a break, but not with all of the family, which is a bit of a shame. But you've got to grab what you can get. People have got work and exams and stuff. So I'm just going to get away for a few days. But it's with good people. Me and Ricky. I'm not going to New York. Fair play to people who's going to New York. I think the whole world's going to New York for the next 6 weeks. I like New York. I don't like New York in December. I like New York in October. I don't like New York when it's mad. I'm not going to New York this summer. Miami, I do want to go there. It's not there. But look, safe travels, everybody. If you're on holiday, I love that. I actually think the first week of June is the thinking person's holiday. I think this is when footballers go on holiday. The season ends and they go on holiday first 2 weeks in June. I think it's a great time to get away. So if you are on a beach or by a pool or whatever, cheers, have a great time. Rick says, best show in a while, measured, informative and chilled. Well, look, I can't apologise, Rick. You know, I've been doing this for a long time and I've always said I wear my heart on the sleeve. Sometimes you get classics, sometimes you get shit. Sometimes I've got toothache, sometimes I feel like I'm on top of the world. Sometimes the stuff we're talking about is interesting, sometimes it's a little bit repetitive. It is what it is, but we're consistent. And as always, thank you everybody for tuning in. But look, as I said, like, there's, we've been doing it for 10 years. I actually think people need to grow up and realise that you're not going to grow or get popular by slagging off the United Stand. People have been trying it for years and they're still tiny. If you want to watch the channel, great. If you don't want to watch it, great. But don't try and pretend that we're saying things that aren't being said. It's not worked out for some and it won't work out for you. It never has. People start these bloody campaigns of like trying to, I don't know. At no point have we said Man United are sat on their arse doing nothing. We've not said that we just haven't said it. And why would we say that when it was our source 2.5 weeks ago that said Man United will make a big signing before the World Cup? How does that even work then? Man United are sat on their arse doing nothing. But breaking news, our source says 2.5 weeks ago that we're going to make a big signing before the World Cup. And we just literally haven't said United aren't doing anything. What I have said is, as an opinion piece, is it's unacceptable to not give Michael Carrick plan A and B signings. And we clearly want Fernandes, so don't walk away because of money. Because we've already done that with Anderson, and we've already done it with Tonali. So two players we've walked away from because of money. And I would have took either of them. We can't do it with Fernandes as well. But that doesn't mean we're not working on stuff. Walking away from Tonali, Anderson and Fernandes means you're walking towards Baleba and hopefully someone like Scott or whatever. That's my issue. Is do not walk away from too many good players because we'll end up with players that aren't going to be good enough for Carrick. And we've not walked away from Fernandes, by the way. We've not walked away. And as I said yesterday morning, I think a bid is going to go in for Fernandes in the next few days. It's just whether it's going to be a Man United bid. But I'm absolutely convinced from what I told you yesterday morning, a bid for Fernandes is going to go in. Baleba legally changing his name to get out of Brighton's contract and come to United on a free. Still won't take him, says Jack. What's that? I don't know what that is. One Inch Wonder says our window will be 10 out of 10. Data Dean at the wheel. But what would be a 10 out of 10 window? You know what I mean? Like, what would be a 10 out of 10 window? For me, I think a 10 out of 10 window would be Lewis Hall at left back, a decent backup goalkeeper, a centre back, three midfielders, which would be Tonali, Tchouaméni, Anderson. So we can't do that because we've already got Edison. A left winger like Nusa and a backup striker like, I don't know, Igor Thiago. So a 10 out of 10 is impossible because you're basically covering every position with brilliant players. I don't expect United to do a 10 or a 9. I'd actually be comfortable with a 7.5. And as I said, I think a midfield three of Tchouaméni, Fernandes and Edison, I'd give that probably a 7, 7.5. So you've only got to maintain that with your left back and your left winger or whatever. So I'd be very happy with a 7 or a 7. I wouldn't say I'd be happy with a 7, but look, the last couple of windows, I think we've been 5 or below. So if we can get above a 7, I'd be very happy. Because the last few windows, I mean, even last year, I gave it a 5. And everybody else gave it a 5. I think in hindsight, because the deals have done well, people want to give it higher. But at the time, most people gave it a 5 because we didn't buy a midfielder and the goalkeeper came in on the last day of the season. So last day of the window. So most people gave it a 5. Nicholas Gemmel says, going back to a player looking good on the ball. Done that from Dorgu, haven't I? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, longer show this morning, but I enjoyed that. Make sure you've smashed a like on the video and subscribed. It was a good show this morning. I've got to agree with Rick. I enjoyed that show this morning. It was quite measured, informative and chilled. I'm not planning on an afternoon show today. I only did an afternoon show yesterday because it was a shorter show and there was stuff I still wanted to talk about. I haven't got anything else. We've covered everything this morning, so I won't be doing a 2 o'clock show unless something breaks, but we have got an 8 o'clock show. So I will see you at 8 tonight, live for Sunday Night Live. And then the start of a new week where I actually anticipate it to be quite busy, not just because Romano's going to give an update. I do think that there's going to be some stuff coming out this week ahead of the World Cup. And as I said, takeaways from our side, keep an eye on Truffert, keep an eye on Gibbs White. There was something from Tonali. Sorry, somebody said Tonali. It was Italian. It was from an Italian source and it was basically saying that Man United are among the clubs most interested in Sandro Tonali and are preparing an opening offer of 80 million for the midfielder. This was coming in from Italian sources. What I would say about Italian sources is that they've never shut up about Man United being in for Tonali. We know that United were in Italy talking about things beyond Edison. So 2 plus 2 could equal 4. But Italian sources can be unreliable as well. So I don't think we're in for Tonali at all. I really don't think we'll go for him. But I mean, I'd love it if we did. Thanks everyone for watching. Stay safe. Speak to you on the next one. Take care.